Welcome back to another Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast brought to you by our title sponsor, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. Whether it's tractors, mowers, utility vehicles, construction, or farm equipment, Kubota's got you covered. Now with 9 locations across the state of South Dakota, there's always a dealer nearby. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Jackrabbit podcasts are also sponsored by Culver's of Brookings in Watertown, the home of the Butterburger, Jackrabbit Central, the best place to get your Jack's gear, and the best sports bar in South Dakota, Cubby Sports Bar and Grill. Without further ado, here is the AT.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to, it's kind of sad, the final, I guess, season 18 podcast, A-Team brought to you by Jackrabbit Illustrated. I'm Dallas, I'm here with Matt and Chad, and special guest Mason McCormick, which I'm so pumped to chat with him. Just getting a chance to catch up here before we went live, but I don't know, man, it's cold, it sucks out. Matt has a, I think, something to say about our title sponsor, Kubota.
So after months of waiting now, I finally have gotten to blow snow with my subcompact tractor from Kubota. And it was everything that they said it would be. It blew that snow a crazy ways away. Got it up in the air and it all went flying. Super easy to use. Absolutely love it. So if you're looking for something to help you move some snow, get a hold of one of the Kubota dealers, the 9 dealers in South Dakota, and they will get you the tractor, the skid steer, the UTV, whatever it is that is right for you. They'll get that for you. They'll get you set up. Thank you, Kubota, for sponsoring us. So you're
saying Carl the Kubota outperforms most snowblowers.
Yeah. It was great. So Mason, how the heck are you, man? And where are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm actually still down here in Frisco, getting ready for the next season, hopefully. I'm training down here, and I stayed after the game, and it's cold down here as well. it's colder than people think.
I just saw that. I was going to go through. I wanted to like go down this big list of all of your accomplishments when I introduced you, but I got sick of jotting them down because there were so many. That going through, you know, multi All-American and all those other things. Just maybe take a survey. Want to jump right into it here? I'm curious. You started out like you stayed down after the game, right? And then what's the plan? What are you moving into?
So I checked into my hotel Monday, where I'm going to be staying for a couple months here. And I started training on Tuesday there. They eased me into it a little bit, which I think was good coming off of a long season. But I got the East-West Shrine Bowl coming up on February 1st. I'm pretty excited about, and just going to continue pushing forward and working hard.
And you've said you're on,
correct me if I'm wrong. You're at Duke. You're with OL Mastermind. OL Masterminds. That's Duke Manyweather, right? That's who's working with you.
Yep, that's where I'm at. Down at Sports Academy here in Frisco.
And I also, correct me if I'm wrong, they do like complete strength testing of like all the muscles in your body, right?
Yeah, they do a ton of baseline tests and stuff just to kind of see where you're at and set goals for yourself and just kind of see what the future holds a little bit.
So another loaded question, but how do you compare to like the other O-line guys that are there?
Well, I'm with some guys that are pretty good. There's a couple guys from Georgia here, a guy from Penn State. There's some really, really good talent here, but it's exciting to be able to compete against the best. That's one of the reasons I went here.
Okay.
And Mason, you mentioned, you know, before the show that there's a number of other Jackrabbits that are down there still also training. Who's all down there and where are they at?
So Deshaun Gales is at Sports Academy with me. Isaiah Davis is at Exos here in Frisco. And then Garrett went to Fort Worth at APEC.
Yeah, and probably some most of you saw Isaiah Stallbird played in the Hula Bowl yesterday. Man, there's been so much football. It's been kind of wild. Played in the Hula Bowl yesterday, had a great game, number of tackles, the big fumble recovery. So it's good to see you guys getting ready for the draft and everything that leads up to that. So yeah, good luck with that process, man.
Thank you.
It's cool. Now, hold on. Let's back up here. What do we want to cover today? We're going to talk. I mean, we got to start out with the game, right?
What game?
You got to get back. What?
No, just kidding.
The Packers game?
I was waiting to throw out the what game thing if you guys wanted to talk about Packers and pretend like I didn't know what you're talking about, because there's no football until the UFL kicks off here in 2 months. So
Mason was at the game. He can give us a first person account of the Packer game right now.
It didn't go too well for the Cowboys. The Packers just kind of came out hot, and it was fun to see Tuck play in person. He knew where we were sitting and gave us a quick shout off the field, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Did you teach him how to block?
No, he came in kind of a freak show, and he works his tail off, and he's his own credit to his own success.
Yeah. All right, so let's back up here to Frisco and another national championship. How does it feel to be a two-time national champion?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. This second time, it was cool to be able to sit back and I kind of just watched the other people have fun a little bit and kind of just took it all in, knowing it was my last game, and took in the moment. It was super cool. It was a surreal feeling. And it was pretty emotional. It was the end of a really, really amazing experience for me. Ultimately it was good to go out that way.
I'm curious, Matt and then Chad, what is the, as a fan, what was it like second time versus first time? Cause I was there in the spring. I was down there last year. And then this year, like I've talked about a bunch of times, I had to watch from home here. So like what was different year one versus year two for you guys?
Oh man. For me, I was so confident last year we were going to beat the pants off NDSU. Like I had no doubt in my mind about that. Montana just was a little bit, for me, a lesser known commodity. And so I just didn't know as much about them at all. So I didn't feel as confident. In terms of actually winning the game, last year for me was much more emotional. I think because of like the Stig thing, the Stig angle, I think the we finally freaking did it angle, just like years of playoff frustration, getting the monkey off the back. And I think Ben said it in our group chat, but it felt this year almost like a victory lap because this team was so dang good. Mason, you guys were so dang good that we just kind of expected it, I guess. So which sounds super entitled, right? As a fan. So Chad, what about you?
I'm kind of the opposite a little bit. Like I had total confidence in these guys last year, but there's always that lucky horseshoe the Bison seems to pull out of their ass somewhere, and I was just waiting for that to show up. But this year I went back and watched, and I watched it twice. I watched NDSU play Montana, and just watching that tape, I was like, our guys are gonna just destroy these guys. And you guys heard me say that. I didn't say it publicly, but you guys heard me say that. And I mean, we let them score, so no naked lap, but I mean, we didn't play our best. I think anyone could objectively say the first half, and some of that's credit to them. I mean, they got guys too. They're a good ball club, certainly, but
I tell you what, on the flow of the game, I'm curious, Mason, what your take was, because we all kind of had our individual, you know, idiot the fan in the basement opinions on how maybe the game would go. And you know, my thought was you got to get through kind of their initial emotion. I assumed it was going to be close-ish at half, just again because you have to get through that. Like anybody, when you're up, any weird thing can happen, and you know what, there was an interception. You know, some goofy stuff happens. You got that you know, super good return guy. So that was kind of the assumption then would wear him down. But did you kind of have a picture in your mind of how you thought that was going to go?
I knew it was going to be a little bit difficult at the start, just knowing how hard they were going to come out to play. They had heard for the last 3 weeks that we were this big favorite and all of that. But I knew they were going to have some new stuff for us defensively. and to kind of throw everything at us. And we eventually figured that stuff out. It turned out good, but there was kind of some things in the first half that were a little bit uncharacteristic. I mean, that punt, stuff like that happens, that hits off a guy. Mark's interception, I'm sure he wishes he could have it back, but stuff like that happens, and that's not like our guys, but it all worked out.
All right, so hold on. I'm curious, everybody. My dad and I got in an argument about this. Did he not see the safety, or was he off balance and underthrew it? I didn't go back to rewatch like his feet or anything.
I don't even know that question. I didn't even really care to ask.
Clearly when it's done, it doesn't matter. But if we're going to go back and pick apart the game, I was curious because I thought he just was a little bit off balance and underthrew him. My dad thought he didn't see the safety. So I was just curious if anybody else had a take on that.
I tend to agree with your dad. I don't saw that safety.
Didn't see? Okay.
Same. I'd agree with that.
All right, fine. I'm wrong. Got it. I see where this stands.
I'm not making you wrong.
No, that's fine. And again, you've got a game and a season where you like, so Mason, it's been so weird again, as guys in their basements, trying to analyze this season. Cause there's nothing wrong. Like nothing has been wrong. Like we have, like it's so like, it's almost boring every week showing him go, well, that was great. And well, we kicked the shit out of him. And my God, did you see what the O-line did? Like, when it's the same story every week, like you have to find like least little things to maybe point at. And it's been weird because it's almost uncomfortable. Like all of us just sensing how damn good you guys were. And yeah, I don't know. Like you had talked to me a little bit, I don't remember if it was before we went on or not, just about, you know, trying to make sure that you guys didn't get, I don't know what word you used, right? Like you have to stay grounded and stay humble and make sure that everybody's focused to execute on that. Because it's not like the same guy showing up again doesn't guarantee the same results. And obviously you've got, you know, you changed Stig out for Jimmy and all those things. Do you want to maybe expand on that just a little bit about just kind of how that was coming in with these expectations?
Yeah, I mean, expectations are cool a little bit just because, you know, we work so hard to get to this position. And to be able to have those expectations is a really good sign for our program. But guys were locked in. We all were coming back kind of for one reason, and to be able to go run it back and do it together, we knew it would be pretty special. So guys took a business-like approach to it, a professional approach, and it was awesome.
All right, Kevin Marshall's calling me out, saying that if I called the season boring, he'd love to be bored like that. That's not quite what I meant. I just meant that it was a very weird position to be in. I'm a Minnesota sports fan. I'm a Minnesotan, so I have never had that from a professional or in-state college team, to where you're favored that much and everything goes that damn well and according to script. And you know the stuff that goes into this. This season, it's, you know, you can't just say, well, we jokingly, what did we say? It's Stig left the keys of the Ferrari on the counter on the way out, right? But it's that it doesn't work that way. Like, you've got all the coaches, all the distractions, everybody stayed healthy, everybody was locked in. Like, that is insane that all that stuff came together. God, what a year. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that just to be able to have that season like we did, it was pretty remarkable just because there was a ton of expectations. There was a ton of different things that were going around. And there was some changes. It wasn't the same team. I mean, we lost some really, really guys, some all-time Jackrabbit guys. And so we knew we had put things that we had to fill and people we had to fill. But we were excited for the challenge, and Coach Rogers did a good job of getting us ready and keeping us rolling.
Mm-hmm. Mason, maybe a little bit off topic than Frisco right now, but last night I just saw on Twitter Gus got to go to Omaha, right, and receive his Remington Award. What can you say about Gus as a player and teammate?
Gus is amazing. He's one of the happier dudes I've ever been around, just in terms of bringing a good attitude every day. And he takes his craft very seriously. He became a technician very early on in his career, and was eager to ask questions and get on the field as fast as he could. I love Gus like a brother, and he's a heck of a player.
Yeah, that was really cool. It's been a few years since we had a Remington winner, so seeing him do that was pretty outstanding. So
yeah, he definitely earned it.
Cool.
So you got a bit of an inside look at things that we won't get to see, but who would you say is going to be the next breakout O-lineman that we haven't obviously already seen? Like who are you going to peg as the next guy? I mean, maybe there's all of them. I mean, I don't mean to put you too much on the spot, but pick one, I guess.
Well, I'm going to go with somebody who hasn't started. I'm going to go with Quentin Christensen, just seeing his work ethic every day. He brings a toughness level to the game, and he's going to keep growing, and I think he's going to be a phenomenal asset for the Jacks in the future.
Well, unless they lose him to the tight end room. I mean, he was working on that. I bet dude's got some hands, too.
Yeah, well, I love Q, but no, he doesn't have hands, and it was funny. every week, we'd come into the O-line room, and we'd start installing plays, and Olsen would say, like, Q, you're not getting the ball. You're in there to block. So it was kind of a running joke.
So that first game when he got into the game with David Alper's number, we were like, what is going on? Like, when did Alpers get so big? Like, what happened? And then Dallas, I think, was at home listening to the broadcast. And he's like, actually, guys, they're saying it's Quentin Christensen. But we were all just, like, freaking out. Like, geez, Alpers, like, did he get stuck in Larson Commons and had to eat his way out of the buffet? Like, what happened? man. Well, cool. Looking forward to big things from him. All right. So in that game against Montana, back on track here, you were going against the top nose guard essentially in the country in Alex Gubner. You know, I went back and watched the replay and, you know, he looked frustrated and his jersey was pretty ripped up, I think, in the second half. Talk about competing against him and what that was like. And what you guys did on the interior to kind of maybe not neutralize him, but definitely keep him down from his normal, you know, game wrecking self.
Well, a lot of times in their defense, he doesn't play very stationary. So we were prepared for a ton of different movements and whatnot. But the thing about that team is that defense plays extremely hard. We knew and we pride ourselves on our effort as well. So we were going to have to match or bring more intensity from an effort standpoint and be able to wear on those guys just like we kind of did a little bit.
Where our flow is totally thrown off here. Sorry, I was you caught me scrolling. Was I up?
Trying to think of anything else in the game to ask Mason about. Chad, yeah?
About the game specifically?
Yeah.
I saw you with some great kickout blocks and a couple pancakes. Which of the two do you think which one do you like better? Which one's cockier? I know that's not your style. You're not cocky, but like, you know what I'm saying? Which one gives you the, yeah, a little more?
My favorite block, I mean, I like them all, but to see, to be able to finish guys over a pile or just go into that echo of the whistle is the most fun. Trying to get guys as frustrated as they can be was kind of the name of my game. And that's just who I am. We play to the echo of the whistle. And that's definitely my favorite part.
And it seems like you're always the first one in line to protect your quarterback. Somebody starts getting a little bit chippy after he runs the ball too.
Well, yeah, I'd say our skill guys are pretty valuable to us, and we know without them, a lot of things wouldn't go right. So it was something that we pride ourselves on, being able to take care of our teammates, because you have to. It's a physical football game.
And as you exemplified, I've talked about it a handful of times, as a D lineman, there's an attitude that I just hated when an offensive lineman had, and you exemplified that every single play. Like, you could just see it. It's the right amount of being an asshole, because you have to have that on the offensive line. And it like, and when the whole unit has it, right? Like, one guy leads, everybody else follows, and then kind of your whole team starts to get that sort of mentality, and it's just awesome. I want to go back now, stepping away from the game. Chad talked about who's the next O-lineman to look at. How about, you got some other names, and I know you can't talk about everybody that looks good, and there's a ton of rising stars on the team. So I get that. So I'm not trying to put you on the spot and leave anybody out. But is there anybody that we should keep an eye on for next year outside of the O-line room?
I think guys like Davin Stoffel at tight end is going to be a stud. Obviously, Amar and Angel, you guys have seen a ton. But also Kirby Voorhees coming up has shown some really, really big promise in practice.
Nice.
So there's definitely some guys, and there's a ton of defensive guys. They fly around to the football, and it'll be exciting to see whose confidence kind of arises a little bit and who's steps into these roles. And happy birthday to whoever that is in Minnesota. Happy birthday, buddy.
I think it's Declan.
Yeah, Declan.
Declan. Happy birthday, Declan.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And the fact that you have had enough of an impact to have, as an O-lineman, to have fans is so cool. And I don't mean that like in that is amazing. And it shows, I don't know, just kind of what the impact that you've had on everybody and how aware folks are of like what you've done.
Yeah. I think that's one of the cooler things around Brookings and the Jackrabbit fan base is they really get to know their players. It's really cool to be recognized and be able to have other people excited around you. And, it was one of my favorite parts of being a Jackrabbit for sure.
Hey Mason, we were talking before this, and we talked about just the Hula Bowl again yesterday with Isaiah. We mentioned Christian Boyd from UNI, Jalen Coker from Holy Cross, Hayden Hatton from Idaho, all having really good games yesterday for the representing the FCS. What does that mean to you to represent FCS at the next level, but also the Jackrabbits potentially, or hopefully in the NFL, right? What does that mean to you for those two things?
It means a ton. I think you have to know where you came from. There's so many people that poured so much into me to put me in this place that I am. To see these FCS guys go prove themselves at the next level, I think it benefits everybody because we do play a really, really good brand of football. And I think it gets overlooked sometimes, but it's really cool to see FCS guys succeed.
Yeah. Awesome. Hey, let's talk about this guy in the comments here, Quentin Hicks. I think he had 4 sacks in just these playoffs this year. Talk about him. Talk about Trevere, Brian Williams, Ryan Van Marl, those senior defensive linemen that you probably went up against 1,000 times in practice. Just talk about those 4.
Well, first of all, they're awesome dudes, and to be able to compete against such a good D line every day, I think is what helps everybody become the players that we have became. And Quentin is he's awesome. Just from an energy standpoint, he likes to talk some crap in practice, get everybody's juices flowing. And I think it's really cool because when somebody's having a down day in practice, whether it's the O-line or D-line, because it just naturally happens sometimes, the other side of the ball will talk a little trash, get everybody's juices flowing to create that competitive atmosphere. I think that's a big thing to be the best in the FCS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those 4 all had terrific games, in the championship down there against Montana. In earlier in the playoffs, that punt block that Matt Durant's had that bounced right back up into his belly, I thought we'd never see that again. But then that fumble bounced right into Van Marl's lap. I've never seen anything like that.
If he would have scored, I think there would have been 15 flags thrown because I think the whole sideline would have erupted. Seeing Ryan, his big body, get into the end zone would have been pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. You're muted, Chad. Sorry, brother.
Sorry. It was this close, and I was losing my mind the second it bounced up. I saw him running. I was like, big man touchdown!
We were all hoping, for sure.
I lost my voice right there. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like you got a lot of fans in the comments.
Yeah, I know. They're arguing about who's your biggest fan. So
Yeah, I got a lot of good family and friends back home, but my mom and my girlfriend Addison definitely take the cake on that one.
Yeah, there we go.
Stacker,
stacker.
Stack's one of my best friends. We talk for sure at least once a week. So he loves to talk crap like he always has.
Now, I think the fact that you have three D linemen in here chirping at you and watching this speaks volumes, because that grind, like, and especially as long as you played, I mean, beating up on each other in practice every day, like, there is a, I'd call it a love-hate relationship, and sometimes that's a love-hate-hate-hate relationship between the O-line and the D-line, because it, I mean, it gets to be a lot. And the fact that these guys are, yeah, in here chirping at you right now is pretty cool.
Yeah, we've all had our fair shares of scuffles in practice and whatnot, but nobody ever takes it to the locker room. And it's pretty cool to be able to be that competitive and move on from it.
All right, controversial football take. Are you a fan of practice scuffles against the O-line versus D-line, or no? Because Stig hated them.
I am, to a certain degree. I don't want anybody to get injured. But if there's a day where practice is lulling a little bit, I think it raises everybody's intensity pretty quick. And I think it leads to a good practice. I think there is a little bit of merit in it every once in a while. You don't want it to get out of hand and whatnot, but
I'd agree. Until you get the one idiot that swings at a helmet and thinks that's going to do something, that doesn't really help. But yeah, I'm behind you there.
Yeah, we've seen it. So
yeah, hey Mason, just thinking about bigger picture college football right now. There's a lot of discussion about the transfer portal, right? And we saw in the championship game how it benefited the Jacks, right, with picking up Isaiah Stallbird at different points, John O'Brien, Brian Williams, Jason Freeman, just four guys there, that major giant contributors. What are your thoughts on the transfer portal, grad transferring, all that kind of stuff?
I go back and forth on it. I think it's good for guys to be able to make money in college. I think that is a good thing. But I also think that guys should think more in the way that they should stay at the place that they're at. If it's a good program, that place is like, for me, for instance, like, who am I to leave SDSU when they've kind of built me into who I am? They've done so many things for me. Who am I to go to another school and have another school reap the benefits of what ultimately between me and them that we've created? So that's kind of my take on it. I wish guys would make a bunch of money and just stay at SDSU.
Well, closed circuit to Ben, please clip that right there and tweet that out. That was a hell of a quote. I agree with you completely.
All right. And then one other kind of question, just in a different direction. I know, again, this year, the last practice down in Frisco, you were joined by the JFPA members, 300 plus, it sounds like, were there this year. Talk about JFPA and what it's meant to you as a current player that's kind of seen that group develop since you got to Brookings.
I think it's amazing. Just seeing all these guys wanting to connect and give back to the program is amazing. That's something I'm excited to be a part of, and to be able to build relationships with these guys that kind of set the foundation for us a little bit. I mean, if you look back at Jackrabbit history, it's a stepping stone all the way up to where we are now. And it doesn't just happen overnight. There's so many different people that played a huge role in it. And I'm definitely super grateful, and I know all the guys are.
We got anything left? Do you want to cover anything else from the game? Do we want to talk game balls or anything like that? Or are we good? You want to move on?
Let's. Well, from the game. Good point. Way to pull us back there, Dallas.
That's all right. Part of it was because I saw Q earlier, and I just wanted to once again call out that I picked him as my player of the game.
You did.
Complete pandering. But anyway, go ahead.
No, so game balls. We can do that. Game balls are going to be sponsored by Culver's tonight.
Thank you, Culver's.
Culver's, thank you. You know, it's fun when we go and we get these national folks, Kevin, for instance, Stan Becton, earlier in the season, coming to Brookings, and they get to try Culver's, and we get to make recommendations to them about what they should get, and they usually love it as well. Kevin, I think you did. Mason, do you have a favorite Culver's order?
So not anymore. I try to stay away from fast food now, but back in the day, a few of us would go get a triple butter burger with cheese and bacon on it.
There we go.
That is a man's order right there. I like that.
Yeah, I need to stay away from it a little bit, though.
were you the burger eating champion when they did that at Culver's?
Sanders, wasn't it?
No, it was Sanders my year. Yeah.
How many did he have? Do you remember? It was a bunch.
Well, it's a time thing. So they went through, they go through five burgers, and I think he did it in like under a minute 30 or something.
Yeah, I remember Kurt Lickus telling us that guy's going to be a problem for opposing offenses, and he sure was. I saw him in the stands. It was good to see him. He was there supporting you guys too, for sure.
Yeah, so. he was my roommate my whole career. And so it was pretty cool to see him grow into the football player that he was, and it was definitely a very fun experience.
So, I think he knows we gave him a nickname, right? I mean,
yes. So Chad, this is my point here. So we were walking through tailgating, or he was walking through our tailgate party, and I was a few bush lights in by this point, and I said, "It's the Colonel." And he turned around and talked to me. So I was like, he responded to the Colonel. I appreciated that.
Yeah. So he definitely had known about it. And I think there was some other people that also called him the Colonel as well.
I take 100% credit for that, by the way. We can look that up, but
yeah,
I was proud of that one.
Thoughts on the nickname we gave you? I don't know if anybody else gave it to you, but I'm pretty sure it started on this podcast.
Which one? The Juggernaut?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool just because with the neck collar and everything, I get where you guys were coming from. But I got to give credit to, I think Michael Griffin was the first one to start that. And I think he sent a GIF out way back in the day about it on Twitter. And it kind of just, it everybody ran with it, which I thought was cool. I didn't care too much about it.
All right. So game balls. Let's do game balls really quick. And then we can ask Mason more questions about other stuff. All right. So offensive game ball. I did go with Gus for myself here. Chad, Dallas.
Yeah, that's a great pick. But, you know, the skill guys, they always get all the glory, don't they, Mason? And hard to pick against the guy that's MOP. And I don't know when we started calling that versus – most valuable player, but Mark did a heck of a job with his legs in that game, I'd say, and that helped us win. So I'm gonna go with Mark.
And I have not rewatched, I did not actually go back and get through it again. The fact that there wasn't a single standout skill player made me like I was planning on picking an O-lineman. But I don't know that opinion. Like, I don't know who would have graded out best or anything like that. So we can go with Mason. We can go with Garrett. We can go with Gus. I don't have one guy to pick in particular. But I actually almost want to go with O'Brien because of how much I appreciate, like, that spot before he came in was a complete question mark. Right? Like, we didn't know who was going to step up. There was the narrative, Mason, for so many years was like, oh God, we got a pretty good O-line, but oh man, if one person goes down, we're screwed. Was this narrative for, I don't know, a decade. And then, you know, you get a guy that's gets a second shot. Nobody knows anything about him, steps in, and he had a hell of a career here. And again, I think I just sent him a message on Twitter and just said, hey man, thanks for being a Jack. Like, this, I hope you feel like it went as well as the rest of us did. So, you know what? That's what I'm taking.
That's a good choice. I think him and Evan get overlooked because it takes all five of us to really get everything going. And is it cool to get the glory? It is, but it's a credit to all five of us.
Awesome. defensively, there were so many guys I could have gone with. But I ended up going with Adam Bach. That tackle he had at the goal line really set the tone, I thought.
I'm glad you brought that up. I can't believe we haven't talked about that shit yet. Was that the best football play you've ever seen or the best sports play you've ever seen? I lost my mind watching that live on TV because I couldn't, like, it didn't look real. And then they show the replay and it was like, holy shit, he actually just outwilled that guy and didn't let the ball cross. That was insane.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Like, from a physics perspective,
no,
it doesn't make any sense. So incredible play by Adam. Just, yeah.
Mason, now I was going to ask you, were you guys up off the bench watching? Did you see that or were you back? Did you see it live?
Yeah, I was standing up just because we knew we had to run in there. If we did get the stop, and to see that play right there in front of us live, was amazing. And that's definitely one of the best plays, I've ever seen. That I would say is one of two, that one. And then Isaiah's run, versus Sam Houston was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. It's that one is a just sure will, but in terms of, just the force and what he had to do over the course of, 1.5 seconds, Stacker says possibly the best defensive play by a singular player he's ever seen in his life. And again, 100% agree that it's gotten enough credit, but yet there's no way to give that enough credit, how good and how hard that actually is to stop a grown man running, who's just trying to get one more inch and not allowing him to do it. My God, it was amazing.
Yeah, not to take away from it at all, Alex.
Really, but you are. I can feel it.
But
there's a but there. Are we that surprised by that play after watching what he did at Iowa? Is what I have to say in response to that. Because
I mean, in terms of making an amazing, making just this gutty amazing play. Dude's unbelievably athletic. He'll be able to accomplish anything he wants going forward, at the next level, next year and at the next level and all that. But I mean, that the way that it all worked out and the fact that he could just actually get a hold of the ball as well as the damn ball carrier in, that fast, like, that was amazing. Like, for anybody, that would have been amazing for pick your NFL linebacker. Like, that was nuts.
Yeah. So then special teams game ball. Hunter Dustman was outstanding. I gave it to Hunter, but it easily could have been Matthew Durant's too. He was incredible on his coverages of the punt. I know the ball did hit him on the one short Peter punt, but man, he did not let Bergen have any room on those punt returns. So kudos to him.
Yeah, same for me. It's tough not to give it to him because there was. Talk about narratives. That was a big one going in and the easy. I made my opinion clear about why. Yes, we have guys that can tackle him, but why would you kick him? Why do it? And then the response to that as well, but then you risk, shanking something out of bounds and blah, blah, blah. None of that happened. Ball was very well positioned, didn't have opportunities. And yes, that means coverage was good, but also he just didn't get a chance to get his hands on the ball. Well, he had a few fair catches. Great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't argue. I just like to add that, like we talked beforehand, I love seeing Big 89, Brody Grumley, run down the field. And, man, it's just so much fun when he gets there with all that speed. And we've seen him make a heck of an impact. So he was this close twice in that game. So,
yeah. Yeah, Mason, we've actually got some more questions. Chad, bringing up Brody again is a good segue. We've had more questions about future rosters and things like that. On the defensive side of the ball, just thinking about that safety group, right? You bring back everyone. Plus, I've heard that freshman out of Omaha or wherever he's from is pretty dang good too, right? Talk about, just – on that other side of the ball, the defensive group, sure, we're losing that whole D-line group or a lot of the D-line. We're losing Stallbird, losing Savion, losing Freeman, which for most teams, this would be like, oh, man, our defense, we're taking a step back. Talk about this, that on the other side of the group, these guys that you went up against every day at practice.
First and foremost, I got to start with the defensive line. I think there's – there were so many guys that were so good and that deserved reps. There wasn't enough reps to go around. I wouldn't worry if I, now that I'm a Jackrabbit fan, knowing about this D-line depth with some of these guys coming up. Between Logan Green, who is very, very strong and stout, and I think Reese Kirschman is going to be a guy, a big-time defensive end for us in the future as well. At linebacker, I mean, one guy who gets overlooked a lot is Caleb Fransel, and he is extremely explosive, and he's been ready to play for a long time. And he has played. That's not everything, but he's a guy that I think everybody should look for. So we'll have Fransel and Bach and Graham Spaulding's back. So I think in our front seven, I feel pretty good about the future going. And then obviously the safety group is phenomenal. Tucker Large, Colby Herter, Matt Durance, Cale Reeder, all of those guys are so, so good at what they do. And they play and put their body on the line for the team week in and week out. You see with these big blows. In the corner room, Dallas was amazing all year. Steven Arell's a stud. And there's so many young guys coming up that have so much talent. It's going to be pretty cool to see these guys step up.
Back talking offense, defensive line, I am really excited to see Pawthorn. He's when you watched him, the few reps that he got early in the year, he had his explosiveness off the line, and then his hands were fantastic. And I was going to maybe wait till an off season pod to talk about him a little bit more, but you when guys come in, like they come in as grown men, but there's that difference, right, between you and a freshman that's coming in, and just body type and maturity and all that stuff. And you could see that he's, and this is not a, I don't mean this is like a backhanded compliment, like you can just look at how he's built and see, okay, he's got a next level maturity wise, right, physically mature. So watching what he was able to do and just the way that he plays, I'm really excited to see what he does going forward.
He's another one that I forgot a lot of guys, but
yep. Bryce, don't feel like you got to mention everybody, but he's one that I've been waiting to talk about like all year.
He has some real juice. It's hard to say this, but if there's somebody that resembles Caleb Sanders in a type of bend and explosiveness, it'd be him in that room. That's his ceiling. I think he can be really, really special very soon.
Matt, you got muted, bud.
So because I'm a complete degenerate here for studying the roster and looking ahead, yes, I have an article in the drafts coming out this week about looking ahead to next year's roster, right? And as I was going through defense, Mason, you're hitting on a lot of the guys that I hit on. So, man, I'm just excited for this, for already to start looking ahead to next year, spring ball, all that good stuff. Seeing some new faces, right? Mason, you and your crew have been around for so long that that we feel like we kind of knew everything about you on the field and stuff. So had some other questions about the process now kind of come in. So you mentioned beginning of February, right? Shrine Bowl. Is that what the timeline was?
Yep. February 1st is that game. It's a Thursday.
Okay. And then SDSU Pro Day, or are you doing Pro Day somewhere else? What's all in that?
Yeah, I will go to SDSU's Pro Day, and that is March 24th, I think. Hoping for a combine invite. We'll see what happens. But regardless, I'm excited to show what I can do and just get out there and compete as best I can. And there's so many guys that are going to do our Pro Day. It's pretty special to have so many guys that I came in with and have watched all these guys grow as football players and as people. And I'm excited for everybody else as well.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We got some sort of a lag. I'm sorry. I really hope that your class, Mason, and I know you're going to say you'll name 100 other names, but the impact that you guys had, and sure, last year seniors, and it's a little blended and all that. I get it. You can't pin it on one person or one group, but my God, the impact that you guys had, the number of, you know, potential professional players in your class, and the fact that you just listed off how many guys that would start at almost every other team in our conference and they stayed. That says so much about your leadership, your class's leadership, the culture that you helped create. That's not even a question. I just wanted to say it out loud and make sure that you knew that. That I hope going forward, like, your guys' legacy is what it deserves to be.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think one thing that gets a little bit overlooked is our coaching staff. We have a ton of guys offensively and defensively, but if they didn't put us into good positions, we wouldn't win football games. I don't care how good we really were. Our coaches put us in phenomenal positions to be able to have success. And a big shout out to those guys and a credit to those guys for what they did for all of us.
That's a good point. We try to call that out as best we can. And you look at, I mean, going back, let's talk Stig for a minute, because he assembled, you know, everything for 28 years or whatever up to this point. And you look at even going back 3 years and you lose Berge, you lose Eck, right? Like, that would cripple so many programs. And it was just next man up. And then now we've got Jimmy. You had the two, you know, the youngest coaching staff in the country by a decade. Like, it wasn't even close. And like, you think about it, in like wherever you work, imagine all of your top leaders are 35 and under. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't. And the fact that everyone was that successful, yeah, that coaching staff is amazing.
It's pretty cool, especially from a maturity-wise. Everybody obviously respected the heck out of our coaches, but they just did such a good job, and they're so relatable to the players. Just knowing what we're going through and willing to listen, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And Kendall here asks, Any thoughts on Zach Lujan getting the gig at Northwestern, offensive coordinator's job?
I think it's a testament to our program. It shows that we're in a really, really good spot, and ultimately we've been winners. And everybody wants to be a part of a winner, and Coach Lujan has done such a good job for us. It's well deserved, and he earned that opportunity. There's no way he could have turned that down. To have Coach Olson back and the new guy from UND, I know what Coach Olson can do, and I know his football mind, and it's very exciting to think about the future with these young guys.
I can't wait to talk about the UND guy at some point, because I've never heard that many good things about a human in a short period of time in my life. But yeah, anyway, I totally lost my train of thought, guys. I got thrown off by the UND guy.
I got one. So, Mason, you know, I love the draft, and so I've been looking at the rankings and everything. And I know you don't give a shit about this, but Matt Miller has you ranked as the fourth best center in the draft. Have you talked to teams about a position change, or what's that?
I'll be ready to play both left and right guard as well as center. I just want to be as versatile as I can be to go into any program. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, and I'm excited to show that.
Yeah. Okay. I just didn't know what that was all about. So cool.
Going center is such a different animal. Like, how much work goes into, like, if you started, I mean, were you taking reps at center ever as you know, in case stuff had to shuffle? Like, what is that like?
Yeah. So, I mean, back to early on in my career, I snapped a whole bunch. I just wanted to find any way I could to get onto the field. And then in the last couple of years, I've just kept that tool because I think it's something that is always good to be able to do in a pinch. And Coach Olson was awesome with me and allowed me to snap and practice and be able to keep that. Keep that tool sharp. And so I'd be ready for whatever comes.
I've told my son would be able to quote from the time he was probably about 8 years old. He knows that being the emergency short snapper will get you on the bus over and over and over.
It absolutely will. As a young guy, you got to find your way onto the field however you can. And it's exciting, especially for all these opportunities that are opening up, to see these guys compete and go earn these spots that are coming up.
Speaking about being a young guy, was there one guy that you maybe looked up to a little bit on the O-line when you were coming up as a young guy?
Yeah, I had a ton of good mentors. Tiano Papungatoa was a good mentor just from a physicality and mindset standpoint. Wes Janant did a ton for me in terms of in learning the play and whatnot, as well as Tyler Weir, Evan Greenway. There's a million guys that kind of set the foundation for us coming up, and that was something that we didn't take for granted, and we wanted to be able to do for these young guys because we want to see this program have continued success.
Our friend Aaron, I'm going to guess, outside of the Natties, what's your favorite Jackrabbit memory?
Well, my favorite game, I think, was the Montana State semifinal in the cold. I think that one was so much fun, just seeing all the fans as rowdy as they were with not great conditions. And I thought that was really cool to be able to see the community rally behind us regardless of exterior factors.
Yeah. Speaking of semifinals, this year's game against Albany, that stadium in warmups was electric. Like, there was just something that I was talking to someone on the sideline, and I said, we're going to kick the crap out of these guys. Like, I can just feel it. And Tanner Castora, right around the same time, tweeted out, like, I'm revising my prediction. Jack's like 42-14 or something like that. Just like a slaughter. Could you guys feel that energy in the stadium that night?
Absolutely. I mean, the guys feed off of the crowd is more than you'd think, I think. And to be able to have our fans rolling as much as we were was really, really cool. But we just had heard all week about their defensive line and all this stuff. And I think we knew that we had to come out and set the tempo a little bit and show them that we're going to play our brand of football. And we knew we had to get that vibe going early within the team. And it was really fun game, fun night.
It's funny because that wasn't a false narrative. Those DNs were good.
Yeah, they were phenomenal. And I think they were even a little bit blown away with the atmosphere, I think.
Cool.
That had to be as close to a perfect game as any team that we've ever played, right? That had to grade out better than the last game, even, I imagine.
Surprisingly, that wasn't our best offensive line performance on the year. It really wasn't. We played a pretty solid game, but it wasn't our best.
It was the U.S. I think, as far as I know, the USD game the previous year was still the top graded overall game that anybody ever had. Like that one was basically perfect.
Yeah, I can't remember all the numbers exactly, but there was a couple games this year where guys graded out really, really well.
Cool. Hey, we got to thank Jackrabbit Central for sponsoring this part of the show. Get your national championship apparel from jackrabbitcentral.com, or if you're in Brookings, stop into the campus, the Student Union location, or if you're just in Brookings, the downtown location. I know I'm rocking a lot of really cool stuff down in Frisco that I picked up at Jackrabbit Central. So thank you for your support. Mason, this is a great question from Brock Gulseth. How are you able to flip the switch from an overall good dude to an absolute animal on the field?
I think it's a testament to our program. And ultimately, I believe that there's only one way to play this game. And it's a violent game, and you have to approach it that way. And if you don't approach it that way, then you're going to be on the other end of it. And so to be able to go out there every single night, you really got to have your mindset in the right spot to be able to allow yourself to even do it. So
I had one of my favorite plays. I still remember from you. I think it was 2 years ago, and we ended up making a GIF out of it. Was it at UND or at NDSU? I think it was at NDSU, but you had a full head of steam downfield, and the guy in front of you went down, and you essentially turned yourself into a missile and went head first into him as hard as you could. And it was so fun. I hope you guys remember. I think Ben's the one that clipped it. But it I like NDSU. When I think of, was it NDSU? So anyway, Mason, when I think of you forever, I'll remember that play because it was the biggest, like, well, I'm bigger than you and you tripped and I'm an asshole. And it was so good.
It was funny the amount of times that all of us on the offensive line have done that in our careers. it's been a ton, but then we were at home, and I forget who we were playing. I think it was Missouri State, and they tried to almost kick me out for targeting because we did that kind of that same thing. And I was kind of blown away. I thought, no way an offensive lineman could get thrown out.
We talked about that after the game, Mason, you and I did, when I was down there with Miles getting autographs and stuff. And you said, like, they were like, the refs were almost taunting you, right? We're watching you, 60. Like,
Yeah. Some of those Valley refs have seen me play for so long. They had got to know me and gotten to know that I like to play with an edge a little bit. So it was definitely a blessing to get into playoff play because we get new refs every week with a fresh set of eyes to really diagnose things.
Yeah. In fact, I think you got called for a holding for a pancake block once this year. And I was like, what? Like,
yeah, versus USD. My hands were a little bit outside the frame, but he kind of he came up on me a little bit faster than I thought he was and kind of put one in my chest. So my hands just naturally were outside, and it is what it is. It happens.
Yeah. So you're saying it maybe was a hold?
I would like to think it wasn't, but what that's not what they saw.
So I got a question. I'm always really curious with any football player. Are you a guy that remembers a bunch of individual plays? Are you like, cause I never could, like, I would get done with the game and it would be like, oh, remember this thing? I'm like, I don't know. I started the game and now it's done. Like, I never remembered individual plays.
Yeah. I remember a ton of individual plays, just because of going through the adjustments and whatever we needed to on the sideline. Our culture, our guys, we would get on the buses on the way home or after the game, and we would just sit there and buzz the tape over and over and over and say, did you see this? Did you see that? So a lot of those games that I played in are ingrained in my head for sure.
Cool.
Go ahead, Jed.
Oh, I was just going to say, was there a favorite guy that you like to play on the other side of the ball? You know, somebody that maybe challenged you or was a little fun, had – maybe good trash talk, whatever.
I think Jared Brinkman was really, really good. He was one of the first guys, one of my first starts back in 2019 I went against, and he was fun to play. The Mostar twins from NDSU, I always loved to play just because of there's two brothers on the field. You can kind of get them heckling back and forth, but it's funny to see and talk to all these guys after the game and whatnot. After there's a ton of crap talking and it's a fight for four quarters, but it's really cool to see how many of these guys are really, really good people, and to be able to just move on from the game and have a normal conversation.
Speaking of talking crap, it seems like Tanner's trying to start something here in the comments. Mason was a good lineman, but ask him how many points per game he would have averaged as an NAIA basketball player.
Oh. Well, my dad's biggest dream for me was to play basketball. And when I didn't, he was pretty upset about it. But we joke around that I like to think I'm a good basketball player. But I lost my shot for sure.
So you ain't got nothing on Addison then?
No, I don't. Not shooting wise, anyway.
So what's up? We're coming up on an hour here already. How long do we want to go here? I know Mason's got much more important stuff to prepare for, and sleep is ultra important here. So I don't want to, like, I could sit here and have this conversation for forever. So
yeah, Mason, it's up to you, man. If you want to get going, we understand. So
yeah, I got to get up pretty early. I've enjoyed my time a ton, but I got to wake up pretty early for workouts. So
that's,
I
think
it probably would be best for me if I left.
Yeah.
All right, we hold on. We can wrap here. I've got, can I ask two quick questions in closing here?
Yep.
I had two. All right. So first one will be quick. Who is your favorite second cousin?
Well, I guess I heard that we're second cousins somehow, so I guess it has to be you since you're the one who asked the question.
It's actually my wife. I've joked for a few years now that so you and my wife Nikki have the same aunt and uncle. So that's the anyway that's the joke, because the assumption is obvious, or the stereotype is, when someone gets famous, obviously they suddenly have 10,000 cousins that they didn't know existed. So I will continue to proudly be a cousin that you don't know. And so just know that going forward, and I'll be your biggest supporter, fake cousin ever.
That's cool. That works with me.
All right, fair. And then, all right, serious question though. So, and I asked Oladokun the same thing when I talked to him last year. My son is a freshman in high school right now. He's actually headed up to a blocking camp tomorrow up in the Twin Cities. But football player, very much wants to follow the path that you are on. What advice do you have for a high school freshman looking to do some of the things maybe that you've done?
The biggest thing I think is consistency. Just being able to approach every day in a consistent manner and develop that work ethic. The next thing I would say for a young freshman in high school is to learn how to lift weights the right way. I think that's a big thing you see in high school sports today, is guys aren't getting proper coaching or proper training. Learn how to lift the right way. Keep it light. You don't have to be crazy strong to start. And then once you do figure it out, then it's time to go gung-ho with that stuff. I think that's one of the things that helped me out, is I had a really good strength coach in high school.
Cool. Hey, so Mason, you were awesome here tonight. And just so you know, you have a standing invite to come on whenever you want. So if you have something to say, let one of us know, and we'll get you on here on a Sunday night with us. So thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the rest of the pre-draft process. Jackrabbit Nation is so incredibly proud of you and behind you 100%. So thanks, Mason. Good luck.
I appreciate
it. Can you hang on to do our finish with us? I think you know how to do it.
Well, we have. We're going to talk about more stuff.
I thought we were wrapping.
No, we can let him go. We can keep going a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks. All right, guys. Awesome. I appreciate it a ton.
Thanks.
We'll see you later.
See ya.
Later.
All right. Whoa. Jeez.
That's my fault.
So now this portion without Mason is going to be brought to you by Cubbies. Thank you, Cubbies, for your support. Actually rocking the Cubbies Frisco shirt right now. They also help sponsor the tailgate down in Frisco, which we're going to talk about here in a second. So stop into Cubbies and get yourself some delicious food. So, all right. So two things here. We need to talk about our live show at the local. And just wanted to say thank you to everyone that did show up for that. There were a lot of you there that came to listen to our guest lineup. Thank you to our guest lineup that was there. Thank you to Thomas Dunn for bringing a lot of the equipment. Brendan for really working hard to try to make it a good show. And second, just want to apologize, right, that the sound wasn't what we wanted for the folks that were in the audience. Definitely not what we intended. Definitely a huge learning moment for all of us involved. But again, thank you for your support, and next time we'll do better. I can just say that right now. So, everyone that's in the comments, Rev, Kevin, that was there. Thank you guys for showing up. It was an awesome lineup. Awesome show. So
shout out to Zach from the Blue Bloods and Coach Fred as well for joining us, and college campus football tour. You can check him out. He's got a pretty cool, obstructed views calendar. So if you haven't seen that, check it out.
Yeah. And then the tailgate. We can all talk about the tailgate, right? So, well, Dallas, you can't talk about the tailgate.
Nope, I can't talk about the tailgate. Thanks for pointing that out, Matt.
Yeah. I had the Ben and the dude from Tailgater, Zach. It starts with an M.
Mugenberger or something like that. Yeah.
Mungenberger. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, he's got Tailgater Incorporated. They're based out of
Okoboji. The Spirit
like Okoboji area. Yeah. And man, he brought some extra stuff, it seemed like. I'm sure Ben knew about it, but I didn't know we were going to have that cool balloon arrangement for kind of a a wall for taking pictures. You know, we had the Celsius crew handing out energy drinks. We had the guys from that had like LSU fans that brought the gumbo, and they were somehow they knew Lee McCormick. So there was a tie in there too. I don't know if they just hopped on last minute, but it didn't seem like it. And the people that did all of our barbecue and served it up were out of the Okoboji area, also Jack's fans. And my understanding is they cut us a hell of a deal, and that's how we were able to help put that together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thanks for everyone that showed up to tailgating. You know, we had beer until noon. We had food until a little afternoon, so everything was about perfect there. Ben, on the Midco interview, great. It was terrific. He went Ricky Bobby on the bit and didn't know what to do with his hands all of a sudden. So shout out to Tom Neiman for putting us on. Still don't know about that, but it was great. Pretty dang funny.
You can blame me, I guess.
Yeah.
A little late to put a bunch of guys that started drinking at 7 a.m. on TV. I've said it. All right, so now I'll say it publicly. This group wears Happy Drunk really well, and I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of. I thought it was awesome. I loved watching that.
I wasn't drunk. I'm just an idiot anytime I get a mic, right? So
I personally loved the Kinkle model. That's like the highlight, one of the highlights for me out of that interview.
And that was Neiman that said it. Yeah. So that was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. The Kinkle model. Yeah.
Alex is like, I didn't say that, did I? No, but I got told that it didn't look that bad, and you know, it was pretty par for the course with the B team guys. So
yeah, it was great. Dallas, you missed a lot of fun, but I get it. Family, I get it. So geez, Chad, see you later. So Dallas, what were your impressions, you know, watching live? What did you end up doing? Did you go down to that bar, that Jackrabbit party, or did you watch it home?
So I was there actually before I was at the Atomic Star before it started. So I don't know what they ended up getting for a crowd. Hopefully they got some, because that was cool. But I was there earlier. Overall take that the game went about as expected. I thought the broadcast was good. I did, you know, I was waiting for us to get called San Diego at some point, and that didn't happen. So I thought that was all, again, production was nice. We really covered the game for the most part, but that was good. I tried not to be salty and, you know, sad that I wasn't there. I tried to just still soak it in for what it was. That's about it in a nutshell, I guess. But I mean, still an amazing experience and just cool to see the, you know, the program and the school get that kind of attention.
Yeah. So one thing down in Frisco, that was just crazy was that it was Jackrabbits everywhere. You know, there's been some questions about Montana fans and stuff in the comments. Montana fans at the game, I thought were awesome. My interactions with them around Frisco and the Colony was kind of weird. You know, because last year, even against NDSU, it would be like you'd see, you know, a Bison fan out in the wild and you'd give them a nod and kind of a smile and know that you're both here for, you know, a game, right? But you did the same thing to Montana fans and they just kind of like stared at you. Like,
really?
Yeah, that was my experience. And it just was a little bit different. And maybe part of it was that, you know, we saw, you know, it felt like 2-1, like out in the wild, Jackrabbit fans to Montana fans. So maybe there was some of that, like, geez, like, why are there so many of you down here? I don't know. It was a different vibe.
But. Well, even the stadium looked, and I, you know, obviously you guys, if you're on our sideline are looking across and seeing their sideline, which is maroon, but man, from TV, obviously you face the cameras facing our sideline. It's a wall of blue, but even when they pan around, it still, even the maroon areas looked mixed. And we know that they're well supported. It's obviously because our fan base knew that we were going to be there. So they bought tickets early.
Yep, definitely.
And we got our game over with before theirs too, so that always helps as well.
Right.
I know Brendan mentioned it, and I will echo what he said because I experienced the same thing. We were sitting about where the L is in the background there, and it did seem like our fan base, unsurprisingly, was not as loud as their fan base based upon the numbers we had over them. It looked 60-40. It sounded 60-40, maybe the other way. So, good on their fan base for bringing the noise. You know, they're known for that out there at Wagrez. And I guess we got some room to improve as fans. So,
fun to watch the progression just in general. And you know, we see it happening, and now we got to figure out how to reload a little bit and do it again. But I was back to the game. Another thing that I wanted to comment on was, I don't know how it. Sorry, you laugh. What did I do? You laughing at me?
No,
we're just all clicking the same comment, taking it on, off, on, off.
Oh, got it. I'm sorry. See, now I lost my train of thought, son of a bitch. That fourth quarter, I don't know how to say this without being insulting, but there was a point where there was some quit in that team. Did it feel that way live?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Go back and look at their quarterback, Clifton McDowell's body language in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
he was that dude wanted to be anywhere but there. He looked like Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb for a little while today. I'm serious. He was like, what can I do? I'm just one guy. I mean, because he was getting pressure in his face. Guys were dropping balls.
To ask Mason that, but it just between the drop, there was like four drops, three for sure. Bad drops, body language of everybody, and then the coach not going for it on fourth down when there was 4 minutes left or whatever. Like what are you doing?
Yeah. And I'd say their defense didn't quit, but that offense, like that offense, there was something going on in this game, and maybe they were just frustrated because our defense is just that damn good and suffocating, right? The McDowell thing. Just interesting too, because he hopped in the portal right away after the game for his fifth school in 6 years or whatever it is. So I don't know. Weird look on that. But trying to think, anything else we haven't covered that wanted to? The Pride was outstanding. The flyover was cool. Great job on the flyover podcast, because so many people thought that was the coolest thing that we've had on the show in a while. And it really was.
Fighter pilots are the coolest thing we've had on the show. Yes. Fact.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't give Blake too big of a head, but he's still a cool guy.
Oh, come on. If you're a fighter pilot and you walk into a room, you know, you're the coolest person there. There's no suspense in that.
Dallas, Blake might listen to this, and he's going to clip that and just play it for people. Oh my gosh.
He doesn't need help.
No. Oh gosh.
Love you, Blake. Seriously. Yeah.
What else? Housekeeping stuff. We have, I have an article coming out this week, like I mentioned, with Mason previewing the roster for spring, I guess is what we can do. And then, we'll do a recruiting podcast start of February with someone. Excited for that. And what else? Chad, is B-Team doing anything this week?
I don't know. But
is the takedown making a comeback?
It is. Wednesday we will be back with Coach Cam Simes, the only SDSU coach we haven't interviewed. So we'll be on at 8 on Wednesday. Should be a great podcast. And we'll talk a little bit about what's transpired so far this year. Us taking down number 6 in the country, Michigan, that happened the day that I was supposed to be in town because I was going to fly, but ended up riding down with my buddy. So I had to miss that, which sucks because we did really well. We'll talk a bit about the Virginia duels, which happened this weekend.
Did Kent State field a team? Jesus.
I hope Tanner
was wrestling.
He already called me out. I said Kent State's bad at everything. And then Tanner was on and I felt bad. And then I sort of, I don't know.
I feel like that's the second time you've done that very thing to Tanner.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm doing it on purpose at this point, Tanner.
But I guess, you know, guys, I just want to say thanks for another year. You guys have been awesome co-hosts to have this again on the show. And Chad, everything you do behind the scenes to get these podcasts up and loaded for our audio listeners. yeah, just thanks, guys. Really, I love working with you guys, and we'll see you again in July, August, somewhere in the road, down the road.
I feel like there's a ton of off-season stuff to talk about that we didn't get to today. That, I mean, there's, you know, talking coaching staff, you know, Lujan leaving, Zim's article about basically how, when I spaced out earlier, when I couldn't remember what I was going to say to Mason, I was going to talk about how tough it is as a fan to realize that your team and your coaching staff are both the cutest girl in the room now, and how hard that is. It sucks. I don't like it. It's stressful. So that's what I was going to bring up earlier and I forgot. So anyway, like just the change in that and what it's going to look like. And what was Zim's quote that, you know, gone are the days of having a farm boy from Selby coach until retirement. Like, I mean, it's real, but that's who we are now. Yeah, so anyway, tons of stuff like to talk about off season.
Yeah. It's like that with both players and coaches, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Too.
Yep. All right. Thanks guys. Thanks to everyone that's come in and listened with us tonight. Mason, thanks for your time. And with that, we'll see you when we see you guys. Chad, we'll see you on Wednesday, right? Wednesday, you said, yeah, Chad?
We'll be here. It's going to be a little bit different look this year because we're going to have a familiar face to most people that watch this podcast. We're not going to have a Kinkle model, but Alex is going to be joining us. So we have three co-hosts this year, and nice. That should make things even better. So excited for that.
That's awesome. All right. Thanks, everyone. With that, go big, go blue. Go Jacks.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, Go Jacks.